Forbes, Fortune, Time. These are among the world's best magazines, and they're all available on demand, right in your pocket with the Texture app. Texture gives you immediate and unlimited access to more than 160 titles right on your tablet and smartphone. Tons of exclusive extras and years of back issues. Explore all of the topics that interest you. Plus, get recommended articles from Texture's editorial team. Right now, Wall Street Journal listeners can try Texture for free at texture.com/Wall Street. That's texture.com/Wall Street.
Hello, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. From New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Oil prices have taken another dive, but how low is low? The Heard on the Street podcast examines where the bottom is and the outlook for oil in 2016.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. Money news that helps your bottom line.
Hello and welcome to Heard on the Street, the podcast. We are the Wall Street Journal's home for commentary on all things financial all over the world. Reporting from New York, I'm Miriam Gottfried, joined by my colleague Alex Frangos in Hong Kong. Hi, Alex.
Hey there, Miriam.
Good to hear your voice. We have Spencer Jacob here to discuss the outlook for oil. Spencer, oil briefly dropped below $30 a barrel this week. Have we finally reached the bottom?
It's impossible to say, but there's no saying that it can't go much lower than this. No, it was not that long ago that $30 seemed like a very high price. It was not that long ago that $25 seemed like a very high price. You know, we got into the triple digits, which once seemed like a fantastic level. What you can say is that $30 is not sustainable, so it will not stay at this level for many years. But it's certainly within the realm of possibility that we dip well into the 20s, just given what's going, the dynamics of the market right now.
Spencer, what is this sustainable level? I mean, what does it cost to produce enough oil every day for the world to consume that it kind of makes sense for what oil should cost?
Well, it depends how much oil is consumed and how much growth there is. But let's say today we're at 93 or 94 million barrels a day. At today's price, you're not going to go out and explore for more oil in a lot of places. In other places, you still can make money. Places like the Middle East, where the lifting costs are extremely low, and so you're covering all the cash costs of production, although not necessarily the capital costs. But you can safely say that unless there's a major technological change, $30 is not really a sustainable level, because all of the marginal oil, which is the offshore Africa, Gulf of Mexico, off Brazil, fracking in the U.S. in almost all locations, certainly things like Canadian oil sands are way too expensive. And so as that investment dries up, and it has dried up significantly, the growth in production this year, especially next year and the year after, has been curtailed. And that's already written into the numbers, that production is not going to happen that we thought would happen.
Spencer, you had a column this week about which nations would be most affected and which ones could kind of hang on due to the oil price slide. And one thing that's kind of surprised me about it was that you said Saudi Arabia might be more vulnerable than meets the eye. Why is that?
That's right. I mean, it's a bit counterintuitive, because if you look at something like credit ratings or if you look at reserves, then the Gulf monarchies are well insulated. They have fairly high credit ratings, a lot of borrowing capacity, but they are true petroeconomies, and they've bought social peace. These are monarchies that have not been around for forever. They're relatively modern phenomena, you know, just slightly predating the oil bonanza, and they have growing populations. They basically use the largesse from petroleum revenues to buy social peace. Whereas you have others that are seen as vulnerable because they're more stretched. Look at Iran or look at Russia, where their credit ratings are much lower, also dependent. But they have stronger regimes in place and a quicker play to nationalism there than the Gulf monarchies might. So
Putin's in a stronger place than the monarchy in Saudi Arabia?
Absolutely. I mean, the Russian economy is, you know, and they're generally a resource-dependent economy. It's not just oil and gas, but other things. The prices of all those things have been hit. So the Russian economy is in a pinch. But Putin's popularity rating is in the 80% range, and you know, whenever it begins to dip, he rattles sabers or does something. So he can invoke patriotism, and the Russians are a stoic people. Now, there was the previous oil price collapse came right at the end of Yeltsin's time as president, and his approval rating was in the single digits by the end. So it depends who's in charge. It depends the circumstances. Obviously, the economy is hard, but Russians know hardship, and they almost revel in hardship. The Iranians, the same thing. And that situation is a bit different because they're coming off a period of sanctions. So their economy actually is in the process of improving, even though petroleum revenues are sinking, and they have a strong centralized state. You know, they have some, you know, ethnic homogeneity and a play to nationalism, and they're not really seen as vulnerable, even though they're not as financially healthy as the Saudis or the Kuwaitis might be.
We're going to have to wrap it up there. That wraps up the Your Money Matters edition of Heard on the Street. Be sure to check out our full Heard on the Street podcast at wsj.com/podcasts. Thanks for listening.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.